Please open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 17 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 22. While you're turning there, a quick testimony. Yesterday, my wife and I and Kenzo were able to attend Kyohei's Undokai, which is a kind of sports festival, sports day, track meet. And it's great. Our first one. I've been involved in many because I'm a teacher. I teach at junior high, high school. And I'm always the staff person, but I've never been the guest, the parents. So it was special for me. I really enjoyed it. So praise God, our son is healthy and able to run around and bump into people. So praise the Lord. Any other testimony? No, that's good. Okay, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 22. You have it in your bulletin, and also, I hope that you've brought your own Bible. I think we have all of it on the screen there. Okay, great. We also have it on the screen. Thank you, Roland. So, okay, let's read it together. Here we go. For it is better if the will of God be so. Stop. Wait, no, this is the King James Version. We're going to switch to the NIV. All right, it's up there, but it's not up there. All right, we have to be of one accord here. All right, so you have it in your bulletin or in your Bible, and Roland is working on the NIV. So let's read from the bulletin or your Bible, the NIV, 1 Peter 3:17. Let's read. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. The very words of God. Amen. I teach a Bible class. I teach English to 165 13-year-olds. And Friday I had lessons. And it was a bad day of lessons. I was angry, Mr. Habakon, on Friday. Not good. But I have one Bible student. I have one student who's 14 years old. And he decided he wants to learn Bible. So he asked me to teach him this year the Bible. So we've been going through Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. I said, hey, let's just study Jesus and what he said. So we've been going through that, and although my classes were bad on Friday, I had one good Bible class on Friday afternoon with my one student. And one of the things we do, as you know, I like to just say, if you have any question you want to ask God, anything at all, you can ask him, and let's find the answer in the Bible, because the Bible is God's word. So if you have any question, we should try to find the answer in the Bible. So he comes with questions. And last Friday's question was a good one. He asked, is there anything good that comes from suffering? Does suffering produce anything good at all? Is what he was asking. This is pretty good for a 14-year-old, I thought. And I said, why are you asking that? He said, oh, life is hard right now. You're 14 years old. Life is hard. Kurushini, kurushini. I understand. I've been there. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 22. And if you were reading through that with me, some question marks probably started popping up in your head. If I were not preaching through the Bible or a book of the Bible, I would never preach on this passage. But praise God, we love the Bible. And I'm so thankful that I can study this passage for this week. But the whole purpose of this passage that Peter is writing with a pastor's heart, a pastor's love for his people. Peter is trying to answer Watanabe-kun's question. Watanabe-kun is my student. Is there anything good that comes from suffering? What's the whole point of it? And is there a reason that I'm going through so much difficulty? And how do I get through it? And that's what Peter is trying to do for his people. He's trying to, one, help you be strong in your suffering. And number two, he's trying to help you get ready for your suffering. Listen, some of us are being blessed right now. We're going through a season of blessing. God is pouring out wonderful things in our lives. But get ready. Because you just keep living. And you walk through fire. You walk through floods. You walk through disaster. That's humanity. That's life. So if this is not something that you're going through right now, I'm fine, Lord. Don't need this word. You'll need it. Take notes. Get it ready. Get in the back of your head. Even a 14-year-old asks these kinds of questions. But some of you, I know, are walking through the fire right now. And you're going through your difficult season right now. And in fact, maybe this is a hard day for you. Or maybe this is just another day in a long a year for you. And so this word is for you. First Peter is for you. For Christians going through difficult, difficult times. In just a few more years after this book is written, the government will come down hard on Christians. And they will start systematically and legally taking away homes, breaking up families, dividing churches, crucifying people because of their faith. And so Peter is saying, get ready, it's coming. And here's what he says. He says, two things I want you to remember in the midst of your suffering or as you're getting ready for it. Number one, what Jesus went through. Remember his suffering. Okay, look how it starts in verse 17. Jesus is suffering for all of us. Yeah, you can put up that if you want. Even if it's KJV, it's okay. Or you can have it on your Bible. Jesus is suffering for all of us as he submits to the Father and submits to everything the Father is giving. That's how it starts, verse 17. Jesus is suffering. Excuse me, verse 18. And then how it ends, look how it ends. At the verse 22, Jesus is victorious. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, with everything submitted to him. See, it starts with Jesus submitting to the Father and suffering for it. But then at the end, in verse 22, it ends with Jesus' victory. And I'm going to get there at the end of this sermon in just a few minutes. But as we're going to go through this passage, a very difficult passage to understand if you just read it through once, we need to understand it's all about Jesus, about what he suffered and then how he has the victory. And that's how our suffering has meaning. That's how something good comes out of our suffering. You see, the message is never this. And this is what other religions and this is what the world will say. It says, when you're going through difficulty, never give up. Never give up. You can do it. Persevere, go, but you know, get strong and go through it. And that's all that the world can give us. Right. It's all in you, right? That's all because, you know, someday it's all gonna end, no one's gonna remember you, and you know, history moves on, or it's all gonna end with the exploding of the sun. There's really no meaning to it. That's all we can say is just never give up. Jesus or Peter is not saying never give up. He's saying, look, never forget what Jesus did. It's not never give up. It's never forget what Jesus suffered and how Jesus suffered, and never forget Jesus' victory for you. That's how you're going to get through it. That's how you'll get something good out of it. You see, the Bible is never going to try to tell you why you're suffering. It's not going to give you all the reasons. It gives you a lot of reasons, but that's not the God's main purpose in writing the Bible. God is not more concerned of explaining why you're going through this. He's really more concerned about giving you the strength while you're in it. Let me just back up. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Let's look at verse 17. The main point. This is the main point. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay, so we have some suffering for doing good rather than for doing evil. If you're in your Bible right now, flip back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Flip back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. You have it there, Roland? No? Okay. Peter mentioned this again before. He said, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing good? Oh, excuse me. A beating for doing wrong and endure it. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. So he's still on this whole thing of some of the reasons we suffer. Mark Driscoll, he's done a whole study on suffering in the Bible. He says there's so many ways to suffer, but basically there's three big ones, three big reasons we suffer. The first is it's deserved suffering. You deserve what you get. It's the principle of reaping what you sow. You give evil, you get evil in return. And you dig your own hole. You're unfaithful with your finances, and you are now broke. You have no money. You never get up early enough to get to work on time, and so you're on your fifth job. You're suffering through that. You treat everybody with disdain. You talk behind people's back. You think negatively about people. You have bad relationships. You're suffering. That's stuff you brought on yourself. It's deserved suffering. There's another kind of suffering where it's mysterious. You just don't know. You're not gonna know for a while. The major example is Job. Job just had no idea what was going on in his life. We are fortunate to see the whole purpose behind it. But through the whole ordeal, I mean, he suffered huge, right? You know the story. He never knew. And it could be you're going through something and you're like, Lord, this is a thorn in my side. Get rid of it, please. And all God is saying is, my grace is sufficient for you. You don't need to ask any more questions. Just get up and go. And it's mysterious like that. It's another kind of suffering. A third kind is what we're dealing with here, and that is suffering for doing good. Getting treated bad for doing what's right. Again, now, here's the thing. The purpose of the Bible is not to explain your suffering, but to give you strength in your suffering. Watanabe-kun was asking me, is there any good in this suffering? And I'm saying, man, we could be here all week because there's so many things in the Bible that say, that answer your question. But here's the nutshell. It could be a bad reason that you're suffering. But here's some good news. There could be a good result for your suffering. The reason for your suffering is evil. But because you have Jesus in your life, because God is working, because you have His Spirit and His power, though the reason is bad, the result will be good. It shall be good. Maybe not in this life, but God has a purpose for it. So, it's better. That's why it's better, as Peter says. So it's not never give up, but always remember. Remember Christ, remember Christ, remember Jesus. It's all about Him. So in verse 18, Peter gives his first example of why it's okay to suffer for doing good. Because Jesus suffered for doing good. And it says in verse 18, Christ's purpose for suffering. Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. And here's the purpose. To bring you to God. That's the purpose. Christ died once and for all. So the death he died on the cross. All of the evil and the wrath and the punishment that I deserve. Oh, and I deserve a lot. And if you know yourself, you know how much you deserve. All of that was put on Jesus Christ. Once and for all. Why once? Because He's God. And once is enough for Him. His death once is enough to cleanse your sin 10, 11, 20, 1,000 times. That once. And what Jesus was able to accomplish, what we were not able to accomplish, it would take us eternity to pay for our sins. Jesus paid for in 6 hours. He died once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. He was righteous and we were unrighteous. And so, what was all that for? What was all that for? What was the whole point of it? To bring us to God. Hallelujah. To bring us to God. That's why I can sing. That's why my heart just almost explodes when I sing. Because the closer I get to God, the more excited I get. Some of us, when we sin without Jesus, we want to get far away from God. We don't want to come close because we know we're dirty. But when Jesus has washed away all of our sin and our guilt and our shame, like Hebrews says, we can approach the throne with confidence. And when I approach God and I get closer to Him through worship, through times in prayer, through His Word, oh my. I could be going through some difficult times, but there is no joy. There is nothing that this joy that can, I can say, there's nothing that can take this joy away. And I was telling this to my student on Friday. I said, man, I know it's difficult. And I go through difficulty too. But I don't know how you can do it without Jesus. Because I have Jesus, I have a joy that cannot be taken away. It's like a fountain. It's like a fountain of water just pouring out of me. It's a joy. And I get mad, I get sad, I get angry, I weep and I cry, I mourn. But you can't take this joy away because Jesus has brought me close to God through His death. Remember that when you're going through your suffering. That's the power right there. Remember Christ's purpose. It's to bring you close to God. So when you suffer and you're going through some difficulty, get close to God through Jesus. Get close to God through Jesus. That's the whole purpose of His suffering. And it may be the purpose of your suffering. Maybe that's why you're going through it. Because without it, you'd be further away from God. What does C.S. Lewis say? He said about our pain. God whispers to us in our pleasures, right? He speaks to us through our daily experiences. But it is in our pain that He's screaming at us, come to me, come to me. I'm here for you. I've got something for you. And that's what Jesus did. It was to bring us to God. Remember Christ's purpose. Remember his purpose, and now remember his power. And this is where we're going to have, start having questions. It's the second part of verse 18. The second part of verse 18. And it goes all the way to the verse 20. He was put to death in the body, but made alive, and then your translation, by the Spirit. Other translations, in the Spirit. Oh man, this one took me a while to study and figure out. I still don't have it figured out. But he was put to death in the flesh. That means as a human, he was put to death. Okay? But the demonstration of his power, the demonstration that he was God, was in his resurrection. And that's in the Spirit. Once more, Jesus is fully man, fully human. And in that humanity, he was able to die. He was put to death in the flesh. But he was also fully God, 100% God. And it is by the Spirit of God that he is able to resurrect and show his power. By the Spirit. Peter is telling us, remember the power of Jesus Christ. What does Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says? Zechariah chapter 4, he's saying, not by might and not by power, not by human might, not by human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What did Roy read for us today in Isaiah 63? He gave us rest by his Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that gives us the power to suffer well. To suffer well. The Spirit of God. It's what gave Jesus the power to overcome death and the grave. Listen to me very clearly. Look. Unless you will admit you have no power, you will never know the power of God. Okay? Unless you are willing to say, I have nothing, you will never understand that God can be everything. Okay? You need to go before God in weakness and in brokenness, because the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. Unless you go to him in that capacity, you'll never know his power, which is so available to us. Okay, now what's the whole bit about, you know, Noah and baptism? I don't know. Okay, some really great minds, Martin Luther, on and on. They said, I don't know. Then some other great minds said, maybe this is what it means, and I'll take their advice. And this is all under the heading of Jesus' power, okay? Jesus' power is how you persevere. And so what is the story of Noah? The story of Noah is not about how man survived after a big flood. The story of Noah is not how elephants could fit with hippopotamuses in a big boat. That's not the story. It's nice for my boys, okay? But that's not what Noah's story is. What? Noah had to build a big, big, big boat. It was like a battleship. That's the only thing we can imagine. How it's the size. Think of a battleship. How many people built it? Four. Noah and his sons. Four people building a battleship. That should take a long time. How long did it take? 120 years. 120 years to build that. Okay, that makes sense. Because if it's four people, it's going to take a while. 120 years to build something. 120 years to build something. What are the people around Noah doing those 120 years? They're looking at the frame of it, and they're saying, this looks ridiculous. We're in the middle of a desert. What are you doing, Noah? God told me to do it. 50 years go by. Maybe some parts of the boat are getting, you know, coming together. Noah, it's been 50 years. Not a drop of rain has come. What are you doing? God told me to do it. 100 years. 100 years! Noah, it's been 100 years. What in the world are you doing? Well, God told me to do it. You idiot! Are you so foolish to think that God would tell you, it's been 100 years? Christian, it's been 2,000 years. Jesus hasn't come back. It's been 2,011 years. You think Jesus is going to come back? Remember Noah's perseverance. And what we're saying here is it was Jesus in Noah preaching, repent. God is going to judge. God is coming. You're going to pay for your sins. Because back then, it said that the people were crying out to God. There was just evil everywhere. And God could heard the evil, and he said, we're done with this. We're done. And it wasn't that Noah was the only good guy. It doesn't say that. You know what it said? Noah, it just said Noah got God's grace. It wasn't because he was so good. It's just God said, you. That's it. And then it was afterward that he got righteous. You see, that's how what Christians believe. It's not you do what's good, and then because of your righteousness, God looks at you. It's not that. Okay? God looked at you and said, you. Grace, forgiveness, mercy. And it is from that grace that we can now have the Spirit of Christ to persevere and to preach. That's what Jesus did through Noah. And so that's how he persevered. And so there was the perseverance of Christ in through Noah. And that comes in to our pledge to Jesus. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is our pledge and appeal. If you look at verse 21. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Okay, this is what I think Peter is saying. This water now saves you. Hold on a minute. I'm not saying the water saves you. I'm not saying getting wet saves you. That's not what I'm saying. And so he clarifies. He says, it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Okay? It's the pledge, not the water, it's the pledge. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is baptism? Baptism is a pledge. It's an appeal to God. It's saying, God, I believe in your resurrection. But before that, I believe that your death is for me. I believe that your resurrection is also for me. And I follow you in death, God. And so I'm going to go in the water. And as you came out of the grave, I will follow you out as well. And it is that pledge. It is that appeal. It is that belief in what Jesus did that saves us. And so Peter's saying, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? And so we're saying, okay, in this and if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, you haven't been baptized, we've got something for you. Okay, get baptized. It's what you can do to show that you believe in Jesus. And so that's how this is all under the heading of Christ's power. Remember Christ's power in Christ's perseverance through Noah and in your pledge to God. Remember your vow to God. Remember it. Don't forget it. Don't give up in your pledge. Remember what you did when you went into that water. Remember it because in that is symbolizing your victory. It's the baptism that symbolizes our victory in Christ. Remember that. That's what will give you the power not to give up. Remember that. Remember your baptism. Remember it. And let it count for something. Maybe it's, you know, you got baptized when you were a kid, and, you know, people were telling you, you know, you should get baptized because you were a Christian family, da 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 da. And you don't know. And maybe you want to get baptized again. I got one of my closest friends. He got baptized twice because when he was a teenager, he got baptized. He had no idea what he was doing. So he came to Mitake. He learned what it really means to follow Jesus Christ. He says, I want to get baptized again. Wow. So he did it again because he wants to remember his pledge to God. So if that's you, man, I'll be happy to dunk you. My pleasure. Okay, that's Christ's power. Remember, Christ's purpose was to bring you closer to God. Remember Christ's power in his perseverance with Noah and in your pledge through baptism. Now remember, lastly, his position. Remember his position. Verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Oh, I had to get here. I love this part. Hallelujah. See, Muhammad, he's still dead. Buddha, Siddhartha, still dead. Joseph Smith, still dead. Every other religious leader, every other religion's great founders are still dead. Jesus is alive in body. And with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. You see, he went and died in complete weakness, complete humiliation, complete shame, the worst death for us. And it could be us now going through utter humiliation, shame, dishonor, family dishonoring us, co-workers laughing at us, friends saying goodbye, and it's shameful, it's sad, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. But now, what was the result of Jesus' shame and suffering? His power, his glory, his honor. That's where Peter wants to tell you. Go through it, be humiliated, be embarrassed, but look what's on the other side of it. Angels, authorities, in submission to him, that's amazing. That's what we're fighting for. That's not what we're fighting for. You see, we're not fighting to win. We are fighting because we've won. I coach basketball. My high school basketball team, we're an academic high school. Translation, we are not an athletic high school. In other words, the rule at our school for bukatsu, undo bukatsu, for athletics, we can't practice more than twice a week because the other 5 days we have to study. Okay? So we only practice twice a week. You can't win any games if you practice twice a week. So we were in this one tournament this summer. We played in one tournament. We played against one of the strongest schools in our Chugoku region. Okay, Kuregoko, very strong school. They had three guys on their team who were my height. 17 years old, 6'4", okay? And one of them, he was my height and twice my weight. He was that big, okay? I'm sitting there on the sideline. Boy, go sit down. You don't need to play. Because our team, this is the average height of our team. This microphone right here. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to get carried away telling this story. But we were not going to win this game, okay? And we were in the fourth quarter. This is the end of the game. 3 minutes left. What's the score? 95-30. Okay, 3 minutes left, 95-30. If you know about basketball, the game is over. Okay, so they were winning so well that they've sat down all of the starting members, the regulars, the stamen, the starting members. They sat down all of the second string, the B-gumi, okay? They sat down the C-gumi, they sat down the third string. They had the fourth string on the court. Okay? This is the bench. Okay? We still had our starting members on the court. 3 minutes left. I said, time out. 3 minutes left. Because I'm tired. I said, look, they've got their worst players on the court. We've got our best. Their goal right now is to reach 100 points in 3 minutes. 95, they want 5 more points. That will embarrass us completely. And I told my players, look, they will not get 100 points. But we will score 5 points. Our score is 30. We're going to get 35 points. If we get 35 points, we still lose. But we've got 35 points, okay? Okay, that's the illustration, all right? We got it. And by the way, the final score, 99 to 35, so. Whatever. So, yeah, they had won the game. And all we were trying to do is we're trying to just do our best to make them feel bad. That's all we could do. We could just make them feel bad for not scoring 100 points. In Jesus Christ, let me get this back to the Bible. In Jesus Christ, we have the victory. We won. It's not that because of what we did. We're the bench. We're the fourth and fifth string. Jesus won it all for us. He did everything for us. We don't have to do a thing. We just go out there and play. The enemy, he wants to tear us down. The world, they want to tear us down. Our flesh wants to tear us down and wants to give us anything but defeat, anything other than victory. But we're fighting from victory. We've won. There is a joy in that. If you let it sink in and let it change your life, that can never be taken away. I want you to thank God for your victory. I want you to worship Him for His resurrection. And I don't know if you're brokenhearted, I don't know where you're going through, but go through it with Jesus, because He died so that you could be brought near to God, so that you don't have to suffer by yourself. Not by yourself, you're with God. He's in it with you. Finally, my last point to Watanabe-kun, I said, look, all humanity suffers. Everybody suffers. God is saying, I'm not going to take you out of suffering. You're not trying to escape from suffering. That's what other religions will tell you. Jesus Christ came for you to suffer together. I'm not trying to end your suffering. In fact, for some of you, it's going to get worse. The closer you come to God, the worse your life gets. Okay? That's the truth of the matter. So I'm not going to promise God is going to take you out of suffering. I'm going to promise He's going to be in your suffering, giving you joy, giving you victory, giving you perseverance through your suffering. That's the word of God. That's the power. Arm yourselves with that. Let that be your armor throughout the week. That's next week, chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We're going to pray. Would you all bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Above all powers, above all things, above all wisdom and wealth and all the ways of man, O Lord Jesus, You are victorious. And I pray that victory rests in the hearts of everyone here who is searching. And I pray, God, for victory on Monday through Saturday, and especially next Sunday. I pray for victory, God. I pray for worship throughout this week. I pray, God, that it's not that we will never give up, but it's that we will always remember what You did, Lord God. This is my prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.